It's not exactly boom times for shoe cobblers. In our use and lose society, most of us aren't getting our shoes fixed. We just buy new ones. But what about that pair of shoes that fit you perfectly, that you can't buy anymore? You'd pay to get them fixed up, right? A North Country cobbler is reinventing himself, thanks to rock climbers in Brooklyn who can't stand to throw their climbing shoes away. And that's today's story of the day. Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Wednesday, April 10th. First up, you don't have to look far in Albany to find Democrats flexing their new muscles now that they have full control of state government. Every day, it seems, another progressive issue that stalled for years resurfaces with new energy. As Ryan Kailath reports, climate issues took the stage yesterday.
When the legislature's in session, roving packs of activists circle the Capitol's million-dollar staircase, waiting for their chance at a photo op. Take this group.
What are we here for?
FCCPA!
What are we here for?
FCCPA!
When do we want it?
Pass the CCPA. That's the Climate and Community Protection Act, a sort of Green New Deal for New York State. Among other things, it would move New York to 100% renewable energy by 2050 and create job transitions for people who lose their livelihood in the switch. It's the kind of progressive dream that lawmakers use to burnish their credentials, knowing it'll go nowhere. Which is exactly what's happened with the CCPA for the past 3 years. It passed the Assembly and died in what was then the Republican-controlled Senate. But now...
We now have a state Senate that has already demonstrated a willingness and an ability to profoundly change some basic dynamics in this state.
Senator Brian Kavanaugh, a New York City Democrat.
Many of us in the Democratic Conference understand that this is one of the big things we need to do before we adjourn for this year. We will get this done.
And Kavanaugh might be right. The bill is enjoying majority support in the Senate right now. Of course, the governor is the wild card. Cuomo's no climate slouch, but his office has hinted previously that this bill would need to change significantly before he would sign. So CCPA supporters could end up with a new version of their old problem, getting Albany Democrats to agree on what they want. In Albany, Ryan Kailath.
If you own a business in the North Country, you know you need to be creative to survive, and that's especially true long term. What used to get customers through the door a generation ago might not work today. As part of our Piecing It Together series, we're visiting the Plattsburgh Shoe Hospital. Emily Russell brings us the story of its business owner and how he's cobbled together a living, pun intended, despite some dramatic shifts in how shoes are made.
Mark Michinelli says he doesn't have a lot of money. In fact, he describes himself this way.
Just above poor.
He's only sort of kidding.
No, I'm good. I don't need a lot. Money's not important to me at all. I just need enough to pay my bills and, you know, get something to eat. I don't really care about money that much.
Michinelli is a wiry, white-haired guy. He's got a blue denim apron on. He's a cobbler. His family has been in the shoe repair business for three generations. Michinelli's grandfather came to Plattsburgh from Italy.
And that was 1934, do the math, like 80-something years ago.
Business was good for his grandfather. It was really good for his father. He ran the shop when there was still an air base in Plattsburgh. Imagine how many leather boots came through this place.
Hi.
It's at this moment in our conversation that someone does come through the door, a man who's brought in his own worn-out pair of shoes. Michinelli takes a look, but after some back and forth, he turns the guy away.
Can you tell me what just happened?
He brought a pair of shoes in that, this is typical, the sole was made of some sort of chemical combination that I didn't recognize. It was really, really soft and very airy, and it told me that I'm going to have a hard time gluing to that.
Shoes these days, Michinelli says, they're not made to be fixed. The trend towards throwaway shoes started a couple decades ago. Back then, Michinelli says he wasn't sure he'd be able to keep the business going.
Work coming in got less and less, and I started thinking of ways to make more and more money or to make up that business we're losing, and I started doing the climbing shoes.
rock climbing shoes. For Missionelli, piecing together a business meant adapting to who his customers were. He's been a climber all his life, so he started fixing his friends' climbing shoes.
And it just gradually grew. It really just gradually grew year after year after year until where it is now. It's 95% of the business.
A tiny part of that is still local, still his buddies in the Adirondacks. But a lot of climbers are now shipping their shoes here from Vermont, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania.
When it really took off was, you know, with the internet and the website. After that, I got a couple likes or something and it just went through the roof.
Not a lot of people out there can do what Missionelli does. He got an even bigger bump in business when a guy in New York City who was also repairing climbing shoes retired. There's a tall stack of shoeboxes on his desk, all sent through the mail.
Five of these are from Brooklyn, five of these boxes. So that's been a huge market for me. That's really, when you get to New York City, I mean, I'm not saying I have all of New York City, but I seem to get a lot of people sending me their shoes from there.
Okay, so if you've never seen a pair of climbing shoes, they sort of look like really athletic ballet slippers. They usually have a tie up the front and a thick black rubber bottom. Missionelli grabs a pair that's been mailed in.
This is what needs replacing, is like from here.
Up around the toe.
All this here.
Down to around the ball of the foot. That's the part climbers use to grip the rock.
See how it's wearing down into this part?
Mm-hmm.
So I cut it here, sand this all down. Then I repair this part here, and then I put a new rubber sole on.
Repair like this isn't cheap. It'll run you about $70. And it takes time. Like, we're talking weeks and weeks. Missionelli has a shelf of more than 60 shoes waiting to be fixed. So I ask him, why don't climbers just buy a new pair when their old ones wear out?
They really get attached to their shoes. I think that's one of the good reasons. And second of all, they're really hard to break in. Really hard sometimes. And they're expensive. $130 to $170 a pair.
In other words, the investment is worth it. So Missionelli has found this niche market, but his profit margin is still pretty tight. He's kept costs low over the years by using some of the same equipment, these big boxy machines that his father and even his grandfather used. Missionelli may not climb as much as he'd like to these days, but this kind of work keeps him happy.
It keeps me connected to the sport, which is really cool, and I get to talk to people about where they're going, what they've been doing, and, you know, so I'm not totally out of it.
Piece by piece, Missionelli has made a good life for himself. But this is one of those North Country businesses that may not be here a decade or two from now. Missionelli doesn't have kids.
Oh, what's going to happen to the business? Who knows? I'll probably retire, and it'd be nice to sell it to somebody. Probably have to be a climber, because you'd have to understand what's going on. But that'd be somebody who doesn't want to make a lot of money and wants to work hard.
And someone who's willing to adapt with the times. Emily Russell, North Country Public Radio, Plattsburgh.
Support for our Piecing It Together series comes in part from Adirondack Foundation. You can find all of our reporting and stories in the series at ncpr.org/together. Music today by Jazar and Pottington Bear. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.